What's going on, gamers? Welcome back to the Graveyard. I'm the Graveyard Gamer, and thank you for joining me for this Graveyard review of Plague's Tale Requiem. Now, look, let me just say this. When it comes to Plague's Tale, I absolutely love the first game, Plague's Tale Innocent. In fact, I gave it a perfect 10. It was my game of the year. So going into Requiem, I was super stoked. I wanted to see what was going to happen with Amicia and Hugo and their friend Lucas and where their travels were going to take them. I wanted to see the next step in the story because I got to say the myth and the lore of this game is so interesting. And on top of that, I couldn't help but point out just how beautiful this game was in all the screenshots and trailers. So I was so excited when this game dropped to finally give it a shot. So with that being said, let's dive in and let's see if they could live up to my high expectations for Plague's Tale Requiem. So gamers, let's start off with the graphics. And let me just say, this game is absolutely gorgeous. Look, I gotta be honest with you, some of these environments are just amazing. I mean, they are top-down, some of the best I've seen. When you go out into a field and there's so many beautiful flowers and different types of grass and trees and there's a sunset and maybe you walk up to a cliff and you can see out into the ocean, it's going to melt your eyeballs. I mean, this is just one of the best-looking games I have played. When you go into a dark tomb or a cave, I'm going to tell you something. It is atmospheric storytelling going on because it is so well done. It looks so beautiful, like that spooky kind of beautiful, right? Where you're just like, oh man. But it just kind of gives you that claustrophobic feeling. And that's only because these environments are so well done, so detailed, and just simply gorgeous. I love it. There's excellent character models. Hugo, Amicia. I mean, when you zoom in as close as you can, all the details are there. When they're talking, when they're scared, their different expressions, you can see all of that. And I'm going to tell you this, without really getting into spoiler details, there's some stuff going on with Hugo. The macula is back, and I will say that it is very visible this time on him, and you're going to see that, and oh man, some of the stuff that happens just, again, it's visually arresting what they do. It's not just about being beautiful and gorgeous at times. Sometimes it is about that environmental storytelling. It's about telling you without saying it, but showing it to you, and oh man, they do just such a fantastic job. There's also some great effects as well. Fire looks amazing. There's some explosions you get from time to time. Different kind of smoke effects. I think all of those things work really well. I won't lie, some of the smoke doesn't exactly look realistic, but it fits in the gameplay to make you go, okay, cool, I know what I'm supposed to do. For example, you see smoke in real life, it's kind of hazy, you can see through it. This game doesn't do that. This game does the more super thick denseness, but it allows you to know, hey, I can get through this without them seeing it. So I think that works very well. Also, when it comes to the rats, right? I mean, this game's all about rats. There are times where I swear there's got to be close to a million rats on screen. I can't say that there's actually a million rats on screen, but what I can tell you is if you go into photo mode and zoom in, it's not one big, you know, black ball with a few faces on it. It is actually individual rats that they have programmed to come into this game world. And I never suffered from... Now, my good friend Hulking Yoda over at Lost at Sea Gaming, great gaming podcast right here on Spotify, he actually talked about frame rate issues that he had. I played a few months later than him, so maybe it's been patched. But, I mean, it was just kind of amazing how much they squeezed in with the rats going on, running through the town, and not really causing too much of a problem. I will say that I think this game is a little better than the Innocence game on PS5 was, and at the same level on some points. So kind of a plus-minus type situation. Some parts, like the outside, the countryside, all that kind of stuff, is just absolutely gorgeous and it's beautiful. And I think it is. I think it is top-notch on the PS5. Some of it, when I play through, it is very similar to what we got on the previous game, on the remaster they did for PS5. So, again, this isn't going to be considered the best-looking game of all time, but there are absolutely some moments that's going to make you stop and go, holy crap, that is gorgeous. And the last thing I'll mention here is photo mode, because I gotta say, photo mode was very disappointing to me. This is a beautiful game. You want to take pictures, you want to take screenshots, and there's just not a whole lot going on here. There's no poses, there's no facial shots, there's no logos, there's no borders, there's nothing like that. Really, it's just about zooming in, getting the right picture, adjusting your color, your brightness, your tint, that kind of basic stuff. There is a chrome filter in this game that is present throughout the entire game. For the most part, while you're playing, it's not too overwhelming at times. I think it kind of just adds its own little flair. However, in photo mode, I will tell you, a lot of your pictures, you're probably going to want to trim that down a little bit because sometimes it can be just a bit much. So gamers, let's talk about the story a little bit. And look, I'm not going to get too heavy in this. There's a lot of details here, a lot of twists and turns that I don't want to ruin for you. I think everybody, if you're interested in this game, should play it. So let me just say that this game revolves around a lot of the story, the history, the lore, the mythology of the Mecula. See, the Macula has returned in Hugo, and he's about to cross that third threshold. Now, if you never played the first game, that's not going to make any sense to you. So, immediately go play the first game and then play this game. But ultimately, it has returned, and it's very dangerous for Hugo where it's at. Hugo does dream about this island, right? And he wants to go there. He feels like he'll be safe. Amicia immediately begins her quest with getting him there. Once they get there, she believes that they're going to be able to find a cure or some kind of help for Hugo because there's no help anywhere else. However, once they get there, it is more about understanding and finding out about the history and the lore and that mythology that I talked about. And not only that, but what are Hugo and Amicia's role in this mythology? Has it happened before? All of that stuff. I'm not going to say if they get the answers or the cure they want, but I can tell you that, again, there's going to be a lot of twists and turns, and I think this game's story opens this game to not just be a sequel, but really and truly the starting point for a new franchise. The first game was a little bit more personal with what's going on. This game is that world-building story that lets you go, oh, man, the developers could take this story anywhere. Let me also say we get introduced to a couple of new characters as allies, if you will. Sophia, she's like a pirate. She was one of my favorite characters in this franchise. I loved her. I thought her voice actress did an amazing job. I thought her character was so well written, so well played. She was like a big sister slash mentor to Amicia, and I enjoyed having her around. Then you have the Beast. You have Arno, who, to me, you meet him and you're like, ah, dude, I don't know about this dude, but ultimately proves himself, and I thoroughly enjoyed having him as an ally as well. Now, let me just say, when it comes to the ending, it had my jaw on the floor. What happens, I will tell you this, you will do something that I've never done in a video game. You are going to be depressed. It is sad. But man, when you look back, you go, wow, developers, you really did it. You did something that I've never done. It was a bold move. And I think for the sake of the story, it paid itself off. Now, let me also say, when you get done with the final scene and you watch the credits, watch the post-credit scene. There is one, and it's got heavy implications for the future of this franchise. Now, me and Hulk and Yoda, we have talked about it, and ultimately, we have so many ideas, so many thoughts where they could take it. Unfortunately, though, I can't even kind of mention those because of some of those twists and turns at the end of this game. So definitely do yourself a favor. Play this game. Experience this game's story. Now, if you had to ask me if I think it's as good as Innocence or is Requiem better, I'm going to tell you that I think Innocence is a little bit better, in my opinion, because Requiem is that world building, right? It's kind of taken the focus off of Hugo and Amicia's relationship and focused more on where they're at in this mythology, what's going on, what does it all mean, versus the first game where you take Amicia and Hugo, who are not super close, and you build this bond that to me was just fantastic. So ultimately, I think the personal nature of the first game story was better told than this game's world building story. I just got to say that both are amazing stories. You're not going to be disappointed, but I got to give the slight edge to the first game. So gamers, when it comes to gameplay, this is a third-person action stealth game. Now understand, Amicia has a couple weapons. She has a slingshot, she has a crossbow, then she has tools like tar, fire, extinguish, odor, and a jar that she can fill with weapons. Now these are all important because you have human enemies that you can use with the crossbow to obviously impale them. You also can, if they don't have a helmet on, hit them in the head with a rock using your slingshot and kill them. Or my personal favorite thing is to take a jar, fill it with fire, and throw it at them and watch them burn in flames. It's awesome. But also, you have to watch out for rats. And rats only have one weakness, and that is light. And to be honest, that's where your slingshot and things like fire come into play, because you're going to want to throw fire at different things like torches so they light on fire. The odor, if you put it on your slingshot or you put it on your crossbow and stick it into a board, what's going to happen is all the rats are going to go to that spot, which allows you to get by them unscathed. The cool thing about extinguish is if a guard is walking and they've got like a lantern or they got a torch and you throw the extinguish on that torch, is going to go out. And if there's rats around, guess what? They got a new meal and it ain't you. And then you also have things like tar. Tar is important because what tar does is, say you're in light and the next torch is a little bit away, but between you and the torch is a bunch of rats. If you throw that tar at the torch, it's going to greatly expand the light of where the torch is shining, and you're going to be able to get through there. The rats are going to run away from it. So all of that stuff gives you a lot of cool options. You also have your allies, which they each have a kind of a cool ability. Hugo has the option to control small amount of rats to kind of move them out of your way or to take down enemies. You have Sophia, who has a prism. That what she'll do is she'll reuse it as a reflection. So she'll sit there and reflect it off the light coming from a torch, and that'll help you get through the crowds of rats as they won't go around that light. And then you have Arno, who actually you'll tell him to go fight somebody. He'll run up and start fighting him. He's a big beast guy. Kill him with a sword. However, understand that he doesn't just do like a one hit and they're dead. He engages in a fight with them, which is going to draw the other guards around to like, hey, what is that noise? They'll come investigate. And if you put too many people around Arno, he can be taken down. So you have to be careful with that. So seemingly, that gives you a lot of options to deal with enemies. However, the enemies themselves, that becomes the biggest issue with this game. And that is the over-aggressive AI that they have. See, they can see you from like 100 yards away. Like, and that's not even a joke. There was one time I was in this field. There was a big bonfire between us. And the person that seen me was on the other side of that bonfire in a different field and followed me over, alerted all the other guards. And no matter where I hid, they just kept searching. Like, it was almost to a ridiculous degree. And then if they actually see you, like straight up see you, they're fully alerted, they're trying to attack you, they are on you like white on rice. And it gets old. Because here's the deal, you don't have a lot of combat options. See, in the first game, if somebody was wearing a helmet, you could use your slingshot, throw a rock, knock the helmet off, then hit them square in the eye with a rock, and it would kill them. In this game, if they're wearing a helmet, you can't kill them that way. You can either use the aforementioned fire pots, or you could use the rats to kill them, whatever it may be, but you can't just hit them with a slingshot, which would save ammo. Or you can use a knife. Now understand, knives in this world are extremely rare, and you kind of need them to unlock the secret lockers. And the thing about the secret lockers is they are full of crafting items that you desperately need in this game. So really and truly, it just feels like your back is against a wall, because there are very few enemies without helmets, then there's some with helmets, and then there's some that's in full armor that you can't do anything to them until you kind of blinded them enough to go and knock their armor off. So ultimately, to me, it just got extremely frustrating for them to be able to see that far away, see you, alert everybody, and then you're stuck in that combat routine of them just chasing you down like a dog. Now, I will tell you, on the flip side of that, there are some cat and mouse kind of boss battles, if you will. I thoroughly enjoyed those. Once I kind of got the mechanics for how they're doing, I really enjoyed it. There was one, I believe it was in chapter 11, where you're kind of in a cellar and this guy is hunting you down and you're trying to hide and you're trying to go turn this crank and then like run and hide as he's like looking for you. I thought that was fantastic. It was supposed to be very frantic, and between the music that they had playing and just what was going on, I was extremely tense, but in that good way when you get done and you're like, whoo boy, that was awesome. So ultimately, there is some good stuff here. I would say for the enemy encounters, maybe 25% in the game are extremely annoying. It's just one of those things that they're so annoying that they kind of overshadow the 75% that's good and that's fun and it's a good challenge. So it's just kind of one of those things where I don't want to make it seem like it's horrible, but it definitely does hurt it. Now, one thing in this game is there are upgrades for your weapons that you'll have to scavenge for different what they call pieces in the game. Or if you get another upgrade, you can actually recycle different things that you're full of anyway, like extra bolts for your crossbow. If you got too many of them, you can recycle, get some more pieces. So you'll want to get those as you go out throughout the game. And there's a good mix with those upgrades, like between the slingshot, the alchemy, the crossbow, and so on and so forth. I actually liked it. I thought there was some that you were like, ah, I don't really want that upgrade, but man, that next one looks amazing. And then it would just so happen that, you know, you were kind of challenged on which one did you want to upgrade first. So I thought that was always a really cool deal. The other thing that they have in this game that I think is pretty cool is your play styles. See, after each enemy encounter, the game is going to move a meter, one of three. Or if you went through and you killed over 66% or you killed 100%, whatever it may be, that would make you aggressive. I actually thought that was kind of cool, statistically speaking, to kind of see how you played and what you did. However, understand that those little stats are actually tied to different upgrades you can give for Amicia. But ultimately, I kind of feel like that's where it kind of falters. I don't think it's cool that you have to play a certain way to get unlocks, because I feel like there's such a nice mix and there's some very useful upgrades, but you can't get them because here's the other trick to it. You can't fully max out all your weapons or all your playstyles unless you do a new game plus. Like, there's just not enough enemy encounters to move those bars all the way for all three of them. In fact, playing through, The first time, I only maxed out the stealth. I didn't max out the opportunistic or the aggressive, and I only got 3 of the 5 tools fully upgraded. So to me, it was kind of a bummer the way that it was very stingy on those upgrades, because as I was playing through on New Game Plus, man, some of those tool upgrades were definitely necessary. Some of those playstyle upgrades, man, they really improved the way the game played. But again, they were locked away, and in my opinion, in a poor design style. Now, when it comes to the overall gameplay and playing through this game, let me just say that I was extremely frustrated with Chapter 10. Those I had marked in my book as, ugh. Like, honestly, by the end of Chapter 10, I was kind of frustrated and wanting to put the game down for a little bit. However, Chapters 1 through 8, I really enjoyed, and I really loved Chapters 11 through 17. Like, the game is fantastic, minus the enemy AI. So, there's a lot of fun to be had playing this game. So gamers, when it comes to trophy and fun fact, let me say trophies for the most part, I thought were pretty good. Most of them are just kind of playing through the story. Some are miscellaneous. Some are getting all the upgrades and whatnot. And for the most part, I thought they were pretty cool, like a nice little bag. However, there are two that's going to slow you down in your platinum chase, and that is getting all of the playstyles maxed out and getting all of the equipment upgrades. And to be honest with you, doing a new game plus, it took me about 4 chapters to get the final few tool upgrades that I needed. However, to max out those playstyles, the first playthrough, I actually got the stealth, and then I got about halfway for opportunistic and aggressive. It took me until the end of Chapter 7, focusing on the opportunistic, to actually get that unlocked, and then I had to start from Chapter 6 and go almost to the end of Chapter 7 to get the aggressive playstyle unlocked. So ultimately, I thought those were kind of a bad, poor decision. I'm not a big fan of a game that says, hey, to get the Platinum Trophy, you got a new game plus. I'm not a big fan of a game that says, hey, if you want to try all the different playstyles and all the different upgrades you get and all the different, you know, upgrades to your tools, it's going to be the very end of the game before you can do that, or it's going to be a different playstyle, because to me, that takes the fun out. Like, if I get the crossbow, I want to be able to play as an awesome crossbow person within the first, you know, couple of levels playing it. I don't want it to be the very end of the game or having to start a new game before I get to experience that. Same thing with the different upgrades and skills you got playing the different playstyles. Like, to me, it just felt like it hampered the fun you could have had. However, let me just say, when it comes to the fun factor, this game is still pretty high. I mean, it's a great story. I love being in the world. The game is just beautiful. It pulls you in. Yes, Chapter 10 sucked, but overall, I thoroughly did enjoy this game. So gamers, when it comes to the final review, let me just say this. If this is truly not just a sequel, but in fact a launching point for a franchise, I am excited to see where they go. I'm very curious to see where they take the story going next, what happens to certain characters we know. Are we going to see new characters? All of that. I can't wait to see. However, I do got to point out a few things. I hope that in the next game they fine-tune the enemy AI, the over-aggressiveness, because I thought the enemy AI and how it played out in the first game was perfect. This game, just too much. They got to lower it down. It seems like they try to artificially challenge you in this game, and it just didn't feel right. On top of that, I think they need to do better with the playstyles and also the upgrades. Look, at the end of the day, I get it. You can't max it out fully. However, I think they just hold too much back. There's too many cool skills, too many cool upgrades to just keep hitting back and making you go, hey, do a new game plus to play that. I just don't think that's cool. So hopefully we see those upgrades. But at the end of the day, the first game I gave a perfect 10. This game does take a couple of hits, so I'm going to still give it an extremely high score of a 9 out of 10. So with that being said, gamers, I would love to know your thoughts on Plague Tale Requiem. Let me know. TheGraveyardGamer@gmail.com. TheGraveyardGamer on Instagram, where I'm sharing my game through a visual journey with you guys. And then also on Twitter @TheGraveyardG. Till next time, I'll be creeping on the graveyard.